Good evening and welcome to another edition of Haunted Orange County's Paranormal Podcast. My name is Ernie Alonzo, and together with my co-host Ramiro Ramirez of the hit paranormal reality series From Beyond. Welcome, Ramiro, and thank you for co-hosting this evening.
Thanks, Ernie. Thanks for having me. You did forget to mention that I'm a member of 3 in Paranormal as well.
Oh, he's also a member of the prestigious paranormal group here in Southern California, 3AM Paranormal.
And with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our special guests, and I'll let you introduce them.
We have Joe and Rebecca Mendoza, founders of 3AM Paranormal. It's a pleasure having you two with us this evening.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going? Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get off to a start here and ask you two, tell us a little bit about how you got started in the field of the paranormal for those who aren't as familiar.
Well, actually, I started my first paranormal group about 11, 12 years ago. And that was back when there wasn't any other, like, TV shows or anything like that going on. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot about the paranormal on the internet. It was very difficult. I mean, you could find ghost stories, but, I mean, that was really it.
Yeah.
There wasn't much equipment, anything. So that was back then. Did a few cases, and eventually the group disbanded. But kept, you know, going out every chance that I got and doing investigations. And then finally, after me and Becky got married, about 3-4 years ago now, we went ahead and decided that we were going to get serious about our passion. And we decided to put together 3AM Paranormal and build a website and put together a meetup group. And ever since we did that, that was probably one of the smartest moves we made, because we were instantly embraced into the community. And
you're saying through the meetup group?
Through the meetup, yeah. Through the meetup. And through the meetup group and the website and the paranormal community pretty much embraced us and took us in. And we've gotten to do a lot of really neat stuff that we probably would have never gotten to do.
Just to stop you there, you did mention that when you first got into this field, there wasn't a lot of equipment that you guys had access to. So what was some of the equipment that you actually used?
Well, I think I was using, at that time, a regular camera, and then using like the very first digital camera that Sony put out. So I think the megapixel on that was like 1.3. Mm-hmm. So you could imagine... You can imagine the quality of photos and stuff. It was pretty much maybe one step ahead of a Polaroid camera. And as far as audio recorders, we didn't have, like, you know, the really nice digital recorders that everyone has nowadays. We had, you know, the tapes and stuff like that. So
it was pretty basic equipment.
Very basic equipment back then, yeah.
So you and Becky actually met through paranormal investigating? Becky?
I'll pick that up. Thank you. Actually, it's kind of funny. I've known Joe about 24 years. He was best friends with my older sister. So I was, you know, he's 8 years older than me. So I was actually a little girl when he started coming around. I never thought, of course, we'd be married one day. I never thought of him like that, but... I ended up being on his first paranormal team.
Wow.
And at the time he was married and I was in a relationship. And after that, I don't know, things both fell apart for both of us.
Yeah.
And then we ended up hanging out more and we fell in love.
Now, there's usually, with most investigators, there's usually an experience that kind of prompts them into the field or kind of gets their interest piqued. Tell us a little bit about what that was for each of you.
Well, for me, it happened when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a very religious family, and, you know, it was never talked down on. I just didn't think about it. But when I was 14, I had an extraordinary experience. Luckily, there was 2 other people there witnessing it that I still have contact with. And I ended up, in short, waking up levitating down a hallway. And obviously it scared the bejesus out of me. And since then, I mean, I was afraid of it for a while, but it took about 6 to 9 months, and after that I just started researching. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the type that just will run away from something. I'll stand back, but at the same time I'll have a book open and I want to learn as much as I can. So that's what did it for me, and ever since then I've been on this path.
Okay, awesome. And for you, Joe?
My experience happened when I was, I think it was about 9 years old, and we had just moved into a new house, and it was a really big deal for me. I had my own room, and for a 9 year old, that was a big deal, and I was tired of sleeping on the couch in the front room. Anyway, one night I woke up, went to the restroom, and came back, got in bed, and I was starting to feel really nervous. And I couldn't figure out why. It progressed to the point to where it started getting really bad. And I actually would put the covers over my head and had a little radio that had a little button. You press a button and the little light would come on. So I made a little teepee for myself. And it started getting, I could feel, the best way to describe it, I guess, at the time, I didn't really know how to describe it. But now I would describe it as like a really dark, evil presence. Mm. And finally it got to the point where I just felt pretty much frozen with fear. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere I sensed the presence like right next to me in my room, and it was a voice of an old man, very dark, evil type sounding voice, and he said, I need you, and started laughing.
And this was audible, wasn't something?
Yeah, this was audible. And I pretty much, my body started to, now, what I understand now, I started actually going into shock. Mm-hmm. Because I just completely lost it. Yeah. When I was finally able to move again, I started screaming, my parents run in. I can't even tell them what really happened because I was that moved. Mm-hmm. I had to actually make up a story and tell them that, you know, I seen a shadow in the window, and that was my first, you know, real experience. And I guess ever since then, you know, I've been thinking about it lately, and I think that what I'm doing is basically trying to be a hero to that little boy.
Yeah.
And now I go look for them and ask, you know, try to get answers and information to see what it was or why it was, or not only for myself but for other little kids too.
Yeah. Well, pretty traumatic at 9 years old.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah.
Like that. So intense. Well, tonight's show, we're going to be focusing, having a special focus on ITC, which is instrumental transcommunication. Why don't you explain to us a little bit about how that works and how that all came about?
Well, there's quite a few different forms of ITC, and instrumental transcommunication is what it stands for. Some people might have noticed or seen, let's say, some of the shows that are on currently, like the Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters, where they use where they go ahead and they use K2 meters. Mm-hmm. Or a flashlight to try to communicate with spirit.
Yeah.
So basically, that is what ITC is. You have different methods, like you could either use a flashlight or a K2 meter or a radio or a television, and now I realize they can even come through telephones and
okay.
And anything that has any kind of, like, one time I even heard it come through a recorder that didn't have a speaker on it, and Romero was right there. That's who it happened to. But they basically, it's opening up a communication with what we believe is the other side, using instruments.
Okay.
And our form of instrument that we use is the radio.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you explained it that way, because when I think of ITC, that's the first thing I think about is only the radio and the scanning through the stations.
Oh, there's so much more.
Yeah, so there's so much more to,
yes,
according to what you're saying.
There's a lot more. I know you guys trained me on ITC when I first came across you guys. It was a wonderful meetup that I came and I was a part of. I remember that night very, very clear. As a matter of fact, Catherine Wilson was the first person that I actually interacted with, and she looked at me and I looked at her and I was like, she's here for this meetup. And my brother Sergio Ramirez, he likes to document a lot of my stuff, and he was like, no, she's not here for that. Turns out, I've always been a big fan of you guys. You know, I knew who you guys were. I do recall when you came across me, and have you ever seen us on TV? I was like, no, well, what what show are we talking about? But I do recall, I guess, being featured on the Linda Vista Ghost Adventures episode and my ghost story as well.
Right.
And it was awesome to be working with you guys that night. And I do remember Becky just being so in tune at the Queen Mary that night. You know, we went home and I reviewed my audio. Every single voice, everything she tagged, I was just amazing. Everything she would tag was, there was audio proof.
Yeah.
That she wasn't, you know, just...
Now, remember, why don't you explain what tagging is for people who don't know what that is?
Well, when you tag something on audio, a lot of it has to do with analyzing your audio analysis and evidence. So when you tag something, for instance, let's say you hear a voice or you hear a moan or a groan...
A lot of times it's like when you go out and do an investigation, if there's three of us standing there, let's say I'll hear something... and no one else does, and I'll say, well, go ahead and tag that. I thought I heard a voice. Mm-hmm. And later on, when you go back and review over it, that's just to give you like an indication whereabouts, you know, you can go back and listen to see if there was a voice or not, or whether you can explain away whatever it was that you did hear.
Now, another form of tagging, can that be also just from my small, short experience on some of these, is if maybe a member of your own team makes a sound that could be...
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
For something else, right?
That's probably the most important. So you know that your evidence is not contaminated. Mm-hmm. So if there's any small noise, such as your stomach or anything you do...
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that when, you know, I hate using this word, but let's say people that aren't investigators, right? Mm-hmm. They don't realize how much noise they actually make.
Yeah.
Until you practice over and over again, just sitting doing EVP sessions, sitting in the dark and not trying to make any noise. Mm-hmm. So your evidence isn't contaminated. You don't really realize that, you know, you rub your feet together, you, mm-hmm. you know, scratch your ear.
The little ticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're going through it on audio, it really makes it difficult because you're trying to figure out, like, you're all like, I thought I heard a growl, and then you realize it was someone's stomach.
Step.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right, though. But, yeah, that's one of the ways that you could use it also.
Okay. And on the investigations, what would you say the percentage of equipment that you use would be considered ITC-type equipment?
No, it's not. Actually, there's a wide range of things that we use. We use a lot of EMF meters. We use temperature meters. We use... you know, video cameras, digital audio recorders. There's quite a few different things that we end up using. And of course, we also integrate ITC into the investigation also.
Okay. Now I know on Romero's show From Beyond, I see him use ITC a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of his training, or all of his training, I believe, from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did Romero become involved with you guys, and if you can give us a little bit of backstory on that?
Well, we had a meetup at the Queen Mary, and what we did is, after we formed and started going out, we realized that there was a large group of people that couldn't go and do investigations or couldn't join a team, but they were interested in it, wanted to try it out or see what it was like. And so we put together this 3 a.m. meetup where we invite people that don't usually go out and do this stuff, mm-hmm. to come in. We try to like give them a short breakdown of like what we do, the different theories that we're following, show them how we do different types of sessions, and get them involved.
So these aren't people necessarily that want to become investigators, but
they've
thought about it and they think it'd be interesting to go on an investigation.
Yeah, they want to get their feet wet. Some of them they just can't do it because either, let's say they have family issues,
yeah.
you know, or restrictions, and they can't do it, or their work schedule doesn't allow them to do it. But mm-hmm. but they want to try it, or they want to experience some of it, and that's how we came across Romero and his brother Sergio.
I have a really interesting experience about the night we met Romero, and I have to actually bring up Sergio, mm-hmm. because he's actually become a part of our family as well. The night we met them at the meetup, immediately, there was a lot of people there, mm-hmm. but immediately I was telling Joe, I like those guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like a lot of people, but I mean, I was like watching them all night. Like I had a feeling like we would
end up working out?
Yeah, something. There was just something. It was intense.
Well, you know, you have a lot of people that go to meetups or whatever, and this is expected because, like I said, they just want to get their feet wet. But most people, like, you know, they'll go ahead and try it once, or maybe they'll come a couple times. But you could just automatically tell almost that these guys were serious enough. They went over their evidence right away. They started communicating with us, letting us know what they got. And they were actually videotaping that night and put together a short little video. And, you know, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
And you could tell that the passion was there.
Yeah,
and really, that's what's needed.
I think I was feeling the energy that was coming off of them. And it was very good.
Yeah.
And they are. Them and their family are just wonderful people. So I was immediately attracted to, like, I knew that we were going to become friends.
Yeah.
So.
So what do you have to say about this, Romero?
Well, this was one of the nights, one of those nights that I'll take with me to the grave. You know, I met Joe and Becky, and, you know, throughout the Queen Mary itself, I was just observing, watching Becky and Catherine, and, like, I was basically just, like, you know, started as a sponge, just trying to absorb everything that they were trying to do, their practices, how they would ask questions, how they would tag things. I kind of felt as if Joe was kind of giving me a little bit of favoritism, and where he would, you know, I've been with him to numerous meetups, and where his meetup is a meetup, so it's all business, you know, there's no time to mess around, it's not, there's no time for fun.
It's about learning.
Exactly. And since he is the lead at the meetup, you know, at this time, this is the only time I could actually say that I saw him kind of take me away and, you know, kind of point out certain little rooms at the Queen Mary. Like,
yeah, well, you can tell he was interested, you know, and that counts for a lot for me.
Yeah, definitely. Now, with ITCs, are there certain methods that maybe some investigators don't agree with as much, or maybe are not embraced by everyone as far as ITC, or is it all pretty much across the board?
Well, there is quite a bit in the community where people use it, but still sit on the fence and say, well, we use it once in a while, and we think that maybe it works, but we're not really fully ready to take that leap and say we believe completely that this does work. Mm-hmm. We are. Mm-hmm. We've already gone past that point, and we know that it works.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody, I like to say that everybody has their ITC aha moment. Mm-hmm. And what I think it is a lot of people just haven't got to that yet. But once you do, you're pretty much...
And I have to say, also, we've worked with tons of groups all over the country. And a few of them, you know, Joe's like, I really want to do the session with you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, you know, give it a chance. They're like, no, no, no. And they came back later. Now they're using it all the time.
What do you think the initial resistance was towards it?
I think because, you know, people think about it, and it makes sense. People say, well, you're listening for voices that are coming through the radio. That's what's supposed to come through the radio.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, you know. But here's the thing: is like when you're asking questions and you're getting like exact answers back. After so many times, it becomes, you know, you realize that it's not a chance.
And
you realize that you're actually making communication.
When you're not used to the ITC through the radio, it's chaotic.
Yeah.
It's very chaotic. So you have to get yourself used to it.
I'm gonna say that.
You have to acclimate yourself to the radio.
I want to jump in here real quick and just talk about... a theory that I've heard here and there. Now, before I get into that, I came across you guys. You guys asked me if I wanted to be a part of this this team. Of course, you gave me a couple of podcasts for me to listen to. You know, and the first one was Mark and Debbie, and it was on attachments itself. And I heard it, you made me listen to it at least 20 times. And you asked me if you still want to be an investigator, and I was like, I guess I can try to do. I can live with it. It wasn't until you started feeding me audio files. So I did a lot of audio for you guys, and I feel that I've done a lot of audio for you guys.
You have?
Numerous hours, and
Oh, you're not done yet.
I know. I have a book here. Well, trust me. Trust me. I have a book here that's next to me, and I know I have six more books at home. So there's a total of seven thus far. And I first started, you know, listening to these files and a lot of EVPs, and it wasn't until the first time I heard ITC. I heard this radio. I knew nothing of what a radio that would scan. I didn't know what it was. I would hear, turn on the Frank's box or bring up the number 7. And in my mind, I was like, what the hell is a number 7? What's a Frank's box? And immediately, I was so intrigued by it. Just to hear them mention you guys by name, Joe, Becky, repeatedly out of, you know, different locations, whether it was in Camarillo, if he has been, you know, at a squirrel cage in, was it Ohio, I think it was?
Or, I think that was Missouri, Iowa.
Iowa, there you go. After that, I started, that's all my focus was on, ITC.
Yeah.
Then I started asking you more questions on ITC, and you were kind of hesitant at first, you know, because you did mention to me, once you start doing ITC...
It's like going down a rabbit hole.
It's like putting on a coat that you can't take off, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, you know, this is what I was going to say earlier was that I wanted to later on play like a short little clip of it. And of course, it's going to be very chaotic. And maybe your listeners that are going to be taking a listen to it later will be able to rewind and go over that part over a couple times. And I guarantee you that once you do, you'll start to hear answers. Mm-hmm. In this chaos, and that's what we've trained ourselves to do, is listen to when we kind of believe that we're making communication, or we made communication, you know, you start to hear like answers coming through, intelligent answers responding to our questions.
And that's what I was going to say, is that does it take time for you to train your ear to be able to pick up on that? Is it pretty much...
It depends. That we classify the system much like EVP classifications is, which is A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. A being, you know, audible.
So you mean there's no D?
Oh, you invented the D.
we throw out the D, though.
A being, an A class EVP or ITC session, you would be able to hear the voice clearly. Uh-huh. No training, everybody could hear it. B, it would take a couple listens. See, very difficult to hear, but we can tell that there's some sort of response there. Mm-hmm. So,
and we're very careful not to matrix what we're listening to, because that's very easy to do during an ITC, mm-hmm. like review. So when we listen to it, and we make sure that we all agree on what we're hearing.
It's very difficult because, you know, you have, and I won't call them skeptics, I'll call them cynics, that will come up and say, you know, well, you don't know about audio matrixing, or you don't know about a pareidolia, or you don't know about all this different stuff. And it's like, yeah, we do. And we pay attention to it. And we realize that we can sometimes do that. And just a reference for the audience, when what they're talking about is matrixing and the pareidolia, is that when you were a little kid and you could look at a bunch of clothes in the corner of your room in the dark and make it into a shape of an animal or something.
Yeah, or like clouds or something.
Exactly. And so our ears do the same thing, and, you know, that is something that does happen, but, you know, we try to make sure that that's not what's happening with us. We have other people listen to it, and like I said, at the end of the show, when if you get a chance to go over this audio a few times, you'll start to hear the answers coming through, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Okay. Now, do some investigators, depend on who they are, have better results with ITC? If somebody is sensitive, or maybe spirits may be more attracted to them for some reason, will they have a better result with ITC devices, or particularly the radio?
I think Romero wants to say something.
Yeah, Romero wants to say something.
I just want to add.
It looks like he's going to pee his pants.
No, it's funny because I don't mean to answer the question for you, Joe, but... do remember coming across this, and I was like, I want one of these devices. You know, I would see your number 7 that you had, and I did know, you know, the communication, the relationship that I had. You know, it's been several locations, so I feel that it has some sort of a connection, if I could say. You know, it has that seniority to it. You know, it's been there. It's
your radio has a bond towards you.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for.
We agree.
And so I went home, and I was like, shit, I'm, you know. excuse me, language. I was just like, I want one of these devices, you know, as the kid inside me, I was like, I want to make one of those. So I started off with I went to Radio Shack and purchased one and looked at a YouTube video how to make yours and made mine right away. I do remember posting on my Facebook, you know, how excited I was when I first fixed it. And it took me 4 times to actually get it to scan. You know, I had to open the box up and I would close it. It wouldn't work. I opened it up again and it wouldn't work. Then the 4th time when I actually turned it on, I heard 2 voices speak to me directly. One of them was in Spanish. Like, and I actually spoke to me and said, "Ya ves, ahí está." Like, you see, there you go. And then a female's voice came in. "There you go." And right away it started mentioning my name. And this is something that I do remember you mentioning to me the first time you touched an ITC device. That I don't know if it was a theory or, you know, if it was a study out there, but I do remember you mentioning that.
That it sometimes they can create a bond.
They say your name, right?
Yeah.
You have to understand that everything in this field is pretty much theory, but from what we've understood, the more you use the same box, whether it's an actual Frankception device or Shack-Ack, it does create a bond with you. And if the spirits want to speak, they're going to start speaking immediately. Yeah.
I think what happens is some people say that each one of the devices creates a bond with the investigator. And your question earlier was basically, can anybody, you know, do it? It really depends. For some people, it'll work better than others. And I think personally that what it really has to do with is the amount of effort that you put into it.
And patience.
And patience. So you can take a box and start off with it and start using it, and it might take, you know, like 10, 20 times, and then all of a sudden it'll start working. That's what it seems like to me. Mm-hmm. So one theory, it creates a bond. The other one is that it's just patience, and, you know, and you have to keep trying it over and over again. So
on the subject of the radio ITC, because actually EVP is a form of ITC as well, but the radio form, when it was first introduced to us, I remember seeing a video from about Frankception when he first created one of his first boxes, and I was amazed, and I'm like, oh, I have to have a session. And I actually tracked down his email address, and he never contacted me back, so I was kind of sad, because I'm also kind of a skeptic. I want to experience it for myself before I believe it. We take our evidence very seriously, and it wasn't until one night after using this thing for session after session after session, and I wasn't sold.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was not sold. And we were out one night, and I was the guinea pig, if you want to say. But Joe rigged the special experiment so I couldn't hear any questions. I had white noise going into my ears. I had the radio going into my ears. I had white noise that were over the in-ear headphones that was so loud you couldn't hear anybody yelling or anything. And he stood about 20 feet away. And we have it on video. And it answered, and he just said, my husband just said, answer whatever comes through clearly. Out loud. I'm like, okay, I'll go along with this. And it wasn't until we actually did a video playback that I understood why they were so excited. I mean, it was intelligent responses. You know?
And that video can be watched up on YouTube. Just go look under 3AM Paranormal. And I believe it's ITC or Frank's or Ghost Box session number 3, and basically the way she explained it, the question that really changed everything was I was standing behind her. Mm-hmm. I knew she couldn't hear me.
What was this location at?
This was at a cemetery, and I was standing behind her, and I knew she couldn't hear me, and I said to her, or out loud actually, I said, can you please tell me the name of the last president that you remember? Mm-hmm. And this way, it's an EVP question that's usually asked, because we don't do so well with dates.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of response back when it comes to dates. But when she said out loud into the air, Kennedy, at that moment I was like, it really does work. That was my aha moment.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, I go through and ask a few more questions, and then there was a question down the line where I tried to throw in a trick question. Mm-hmm. And I asked, what color is an apple? And she responded, red. And you'll actually see me in the video. I'm in the background, not really clear to see, but I kind of shake my head and I turn around, and I'm like, at that point I realized, like, we're really making communication. This is real-time communication with what we believe is the other side.
So that was your aha moment.
That was, to me, this was really a very, very important moment, and it was really interesting was that a lot of people that were there, even there with us, didn't realize how big of a moment it was. So,
it kind of, just to relate, you know, your happy go moment was when I came across the file. You guys were at Alcatraz, and it wasn't until I saw the footage of it and I kind of understood it, but somehow I feel that I've been along with you guys. So a lot of your investigations, even though I wasn't there physically, but what was funny is that I hear Joe calling your name out, Becky, Becky, and he's yelling your name out, and I knew somehow that you had your headphones on, and you're roaming around this building, and the ITC device is just going nuts, you know, responses are coming out, and you're tagging stuff, and that's when I said to myself, this device works.
That's funny, because when you said that right now, I was thinking, I don't remember that. Well, I wouldn't, because I didn't hear him, but yeah, that was during...
Yeah, I, in fact, if you go to that video, and I want to throw this in, if you go to that video that we just talked about, 3DM Paranormal on YouTube, and look for the third Ghost Box session, at the end of the video, there's a lady there. Her name is Vicki Kenner, and she's a founder of Harbor Area Paranormal. She was very, very skeptical about this device and how it worked. And at the end of the experiment, after she's seen the responses that came back, she asked to put on the device so she could see if she could hear anything from the outside. And she went ahead and put it on, and then you'll see me ask her, is that your real color of your hair? Because I knew that if you ask that to a woman, they're going to respond like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, almost like that's an insult. And so I asked her that, and she couldn't hear me, so there was no response.
I was kind of egging her on, too. But what's very cool about that is anybody that knows Vicki, she's like a 10 times bigger skeptic than I am. I'm pretty big, but she's like, and then she tries it right afterwards. And she's like, no, 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 no. I have to hear this for myself. And put it on. Didn't adjust any levels. Put it on directly from my head to hers. And she's like, I couldn't hear anything. So.
Yeah. And now she had her moment. Not directly after that. She was still skeptical. But now she's had her moment, and now she uses the device.
So you guys kind of got, in a way, started getting kind of local community interested in some of this.
Even Sid Schultz from that actually put together Pasadena Paranormal and now Paranormal Boot Camp. Mm-hmm. He the same thing. I was really excited about this device, and I ran up to him one night on the Queen Mary, and I was like, Sid, this is so cool. You won't even believe this. And thinking like founder, he's going to get excited. And he was like, But time went by. A couple years went by. And he had his aha moment. And now he uses it. And when he gives his Paranormal Boot Camp discussions, he credits me and Becky for being one of the first ones to try to turn him onto it.
And he apologizes for not listening. He's like, I'm so sorry, you know. I remember that night, and we didn't think he did, but it's very cool.
And even myself, just coming out of a trainee, going to radio, I would say to myself, I'm listening for EVPs, waiting for the radio to turn on so I could listen to this device, because the amount of evidence that comes out of this session was just intense. I remember coming back to you guys, look what I found, and sitting down with you guys a couple times, and I do remember, actually, you know, you actually looking at me like, damn, you know, I actually went over the same file. I didn't hear the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming, it's coming in English and Spanish. you know, I'm bilingual Spanish, so you hear a lot of Spanish responses. And without you guys actually exposing me to ITC, I don't think I would be where I'm at now. Part of it all, you know, as you guys see on the show From Beyond, I do tag certain things, and the network, they would be like, you know, and not necessarily just, you know, throwing them under the bus. It's just the fact that they don't investigate. They don't understand what ITC is all about.
Yeah, they're not.
And where our audio guy would be like, turn that radio off. And I was like, you guys don't understand. That's why I remember the first night I came home. Actually, I went to your home, and we pulled it all nighter. We actually, you know, reviewed.
Went over all the evidence. I remember that.
We did one review, and I was, luckily we were all there as a team, and I took home, I was actually able to bring home with me a tagged video file, and where I showed them the next morning. The next morning they were so intrigued by it, and people just fell in love with it, you know. In the network, they were just like, no, let's only use the words that Romero would tag. And you have to realize that the stuff that I do tag is, after, you know, hours and hours of going over ITC, is stuff that I'm 110% sure that I actually heard, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that I would hear, and I don't even want to say whether it's, you know, because, I mean, you guys trained me well, you know, and we're at a homeowner's house, you know, and there's a threat to the homeowner. I don't want to scare them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to, you know, throw them under the bus and, you know, leave at the end of the session, and they're going to be helpless, you know, in this house, scared. So I wouldn't, you know, tag everything that I would hear. Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Again, I remember you coming over, and we did multiple investigations that you did for the show. And the thing is, we had to leave out, from the network standards, a lot of evidence because it was like cuss words, you know. So, of course, they can't go on the air. So that just, all I'm saying by that is that's how credible it is, because you cannot cuss or use profanity over the airways.
And sometimes, you know, that's the responses you'll get, though, with ITC, is that you'll get singing, you'll get choruses, you'll get a male starting off an answer and a female ending the answer. And so it takes a little while to get to all that, but once you do, then it's very clear that they're making communication.
So these voices, then, that you're hearing, they're not voices that are on there to begin with, and they just get picked up by the energy?
There's a couple ways of the way it works. Okay. The first way it works is sometimes they will use existing audio that's on the radio to put together answers for you. As that scanning is happening, because that's basically what ITC is when we're using the radio, is a radio that's continuously scanning. So you can actually time from the beginning of the band to the end of the band. You can actually time that. And it's constant. It's just a constant scan. It keeps going over and over. So once you time that, you can break down that even further and say, I know that there's X amount of stations on that band. Mm-hmm. And I can figure out, because I know how long the time was for me to go from the beginning to the end, each station should only have 1 second or less, usually. And then you could take it even further and go, okay, I just got an answer back that was a sentence long. It was like 3 seconds. But it was multiple stations that used to actually put it together. That's the first way. The second way is that sometimes they'll speak over the scanning of the radio. And they'll answer back in either sentences or single words with voices that you can obviously tell are not radio voices.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
What's funny is that, going back to what you guys mentioned, I did get this audio file one day. You guys were asked to come along and investigate a home. And, you know, of course the cases are always, you know, kept confidential or whatnot. You guys gave me this file and said, I didn't hear anything. So when I'm listening to this file, you know, going back to the topic of Ernie bringing up about tagging, Becky tagged everything in this garage. So I'm sitting, you know, on a Friday night, all my friends are out, you know, doing whatever they're doing. What'd you do Friday night, Romero? Oh, well, I went over some evidence. And, I mean, this was my calling, I felt. And so I'm sitting in my room, listening to this audio file. You guys are in the garage. Becky tags the car. I'm hearing so many responses coming out of this ITC device in Spanish. And I would say 95% of the hard findings and the direct communication was all in Spanish. So I closed my eyes, and in my own mind and in my head, I pictured this garage, and I know a lot of people have heard this story. I know Eddie and Jocelyn have, you know, they haven't heard the story yet, but even if they have, so I'm sitting there. Then I get to be a part of the show from beyond. Somehow they gave me the case, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, it didn't have details to it. I just felt, this is the house. This is the house. And I first walked in, I didn't even shake the woman's hand. I just pushed her aside, ran into the garage. When I opened up the door to the garage, my knees buckled, you guys.
Yeah,
and
it's overwhelming.
How I pictured this garage was exactly how the garage looked. Joe could actually he can validate the story, because I went outside immediately and called Joe, and Joe was like, no effing way. And he was just like, cannot believe that. And that was actually one of the best episodes I actually did have, because I felt that somehow, I know the show's called From Beyond, I do mention this all the time, and I throw this line out there, I feel like these entities from beyond, they brought these forces from beyond, brought
me,
they were kind of,
to get this audio file to analyze it, and brought me to this home. And I was so intrigued by this garage that every single break, you know, when we were doing constant shoots, where's your mirror at? They were just looking for me, and I was stuck in this garage. And being in this garage, filming in there, I was actually able to document the shadow figure himself. And going back to that night that I came home, and we reviewed the evidence. Mm-hmm. You know, lucky, you know, Joe had that eye, you know, because when you've been doing this for such a long time, you know what you're looking out for. And Joe actually flagged that shadow figure that we actually captured, and it's on that website. And you guys can actually go see the shadow figure that I captured. It's on mundos.tv/beyond. And to mention Eddie again, Eddie did bring up something
By the way, Eddie and Jocelyn are on our team.
Right. And he did mention something to me that I actually said, I looked at him and I was like, okay, this, he flagged something that I would never have noticed this or had even thought about this. And Eddie's like, when I see the show, when I've seen you, it's like, oh, that's Joe. And it's funny because like I went through so much audio that you guys, I feel that my stock line developed from you guys. And I know that with time you get better and better and whatnot, but I mean, even when I still do my sessions, you know, whether it's at a local cemetery or I'm doing it in my bedroom, I find myself speaking like Joe and Becky, you know, tagging stuff and she's molly and this and that.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of the paranormal shows that you've been involved in. I know you were featured on a episode of Ghost Adventures at Linda Vista Hospital, and you're also involved in one of the cases that was featured on Ghost Stories, which airs on the Travel Channel. And that case revolved around evidence that you and Joe were responsible for gathering, which involved ITC, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Actually, the whole storyline came about from evidence that we collected, and some of it was brought about from being on Ghost Adventures. We also had it on a video that Joe had put on YouTube. And there's been various sessions of us talking to a Dr. Edwards. So the show itself is entitled Dr. Edwards, even though there's multiple spirits that are shown on that episode.
Okay, so is it typical for that show not to include evidence? Is it all based on recreation, or what is that?
It's based on recreation, and they don't allow any evidence to... you know, they don't include evidence in that particular show, and that was kind of a drawback. And in fact, they're even to the point where they won't even let the groups say who they are. So the group names or any collaborations or whatever has to stay quiet, and basically they make everyone look like an independent investigator.
Okay. Now, what case have you been involved in where you've had the most compelling evidence as far as on ITC, or maybe not a case, but maybe a location that you've been at multiple times where you get great results on ITC?
Actually, there's a couple of cemeteries that we've gone to where we've continuously gone off and on, where we've gotten a lot of really good evidence. And one in particular is this cemetery in Long Beach that we go to every once in a while, and we'll set up and we'll do an ITC session there. And during one of the sessions, we started getting communication right away, and I heard something at the time, but you know, I had to go back and listen to it when we got home. And that's when I realized what we believe it was saying was, it actually says Joe and Becky, and then it said that's what caught my ear, mm-hmm. and then it said Joe's here to pay a visit, and I was like, wow, I thought that was crazy. But we've gone to Linda Vista, and we've gotten it, you know, the radio, we've asked, you know, where are we, and we get the Linda Vista response back. Uh-huh. That's happened quite a few times, and a lot of people do that now. They go in there and they ask for the name, and they'll get the response. And so, but
I have to admit, we've been all over the country, and if the spirit wants to talk, they're going to talk. Yeah. And so there's been compelling evidence all over the place. Mm-hmm.
My favorite evidence, I guess, that, you know, the question you guys always ask is, what's the last president you remember being in office? I've heard from early founders, early presidents, you know, their responses to even recent ones. We were in up in Manteca County, we went up to for a convention, and we were investigating with Mark and Debbie. We actually went off and did our own little investigation, did ITC, and it'll be kind of cool for us. I'm also going to share this video footage, because it was awesome. You know, you asked the same question and to Clinton, and you asked him, can you repeat that question and say it clear? And they said Clinton again. And that's when I said, what's Clinton's first name? And then it said Bill.
Now, Joe, I've heard different investigators that they don't recommend you do ITC in your own home. Is there a reason behind that?
Yeah, you know, It's not a good idea. It's like doing an EVP session in your home or anything like that. You we usually do them away from the house. Basically, once you start doing this, you kind of best way to describe it is light a candle over your head, and then the spirits see that. So, it, you know, we even have times where the box will turn itself on when we are home, but we don't do sessions here at home.
And this is something that I've actually brought up to different people, and it actually happened to us on the show. It turned out by itself, and what was funny was it landed on a song that we, you know, I turned off the radio and I turned it back on, and that song was in on the radio. And I've actually experienced this many, many times, and yes, I've told me too, with the number 7, you know, I take the batteries out and somehow it still turns on.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it's turned on before without any kind of battery power.
Yeah, which there's
no plug-in to it.
So I think that a lot of times, and like I said, like with Merrill, we had their voices come through digital recorders and telephones, and once they start making communication with you, and once they realize, I believe, that you know, you want to communicate with them, it's almost like, and I know it sounds funny, but it's almost like the memo's put out on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's gotten to the point where me and Becky really, you know, find it difficult to go anywhere without noticing that spirits are trying to communicate with us. We go to a hospital, spirits are trying to communicate with us. It's like, you know, not even if it has nothing to do with the paranormal. So
now, I just got this thought in my head. So if that's perhaps the case, is it possible for you to communicate with spirits that you encountered at a certain location at another location?
Well, that's an interesting idea. I mean, some people say when it comes to ITC that it has nothing to do with location. Mm-hmm. Some people say, yeah, it's all about location. And
can I remind you about Tombstone?
Okay, remind me.
Okay, well, for instance, this is all in theory, by the way, but when we were in Tombstone, Arizona for a week investigating, there was a certain investigator that was sharing our cabin. And the cabin itself that we're staying with was supposed to be haunted.
Yeah.
So at one point we did do an investigation there, and I was actually sleeping, but this one spirit that kept coming through the box, his name is Kevin, correct?
I don't remember, but
okay.
I think
well,
so.
Well, Kevin. Mm-hmm. And every location that we went to with this girl, I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, it only took, like, I don't know, a short while through states to find out, no, this Kevin is attached to you somehow.
Yeah.
I feel it's more, in theory, able to go to location to location if it has a personal agenda to be there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in theory.
And I do want to allow one of our new trainees and members about 3 a.m. just to give us a brief description, maybe in his eyes, what ITC is all about. Because I know, you know, when we took a break or whatnot, he had a million and one stories, for, you know, for him to share with me. And it's fun to see another individual be so intrigued by it. You know, the findings, the reality of it, and the communication that it actually comes out with.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome. Eddie, everybody.
How's it going? So one of the biggest things that I encountered with ITC was when I first started as a paranormal investigator, or just learning about the paranormal in itself, I started off as a skeptic. So when I first began, I didn't believe it. You know, Jocelyn, who is now also on the team, she was actually more involved in anything paranormal than I was. And I would just laugh at her because I thought it was, you know, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So when I finally got to, you know, when I got sense knocked into me and I was actually more intrigued on the paranormal, the biggest thing that really caught my attention was ITC. So when I would see it on the shows, you know, the spirit box, the ghost box, that's really what caught my eye and what made me, you know, more intrigued about the paranormal. So when we first went on an investigation, you know, I was able to hold an ITC device and I had no idea, you know, how to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do with the device, how to use it, what questions to ask. So I just went ahead and asked, you know, whatever came to mind. At first, we were in this room, it was in a hospital, and, you know, I asked a couple questions that really caught my eye. Like, you know, there was some stranger on my right and then Jocelyn on my left. And then I went ahead and asked the box, you know, is my girlfriend on my right or on my left? And you can clearly hear it say left. Mm-hmm. And things like that, that made me, you know, realize how essential it was in paranormal investigating. So, you know, just going to a little desert part over by our house, we went to do a little session. And then, you know, we were asking the spirit that was communicating through the ITC, if it had died there or if it had lived in that specific spot. And he said he used to live there. And then we asked him, because it was a mail that was coming through, we asked him, you know, who's the president? And then he said Eisenhower. Mm. And, you know, it's really, if you sit here and think about it, it wasn't like he said Eisenhower like that. It was more like Eisenhower, you know, where it was spread out through different, you know, it was different voices. So it even sounded, you know, at first we were just like, what? Like, how do you have the possibility to say Eisenhower and, you know, in different tempos and all that stuff?
That's so awesome you guys actually caught that, because they do that a lot.
Yeah, and it was just crazy. And, I mean, it's, you know, it's fate, the fact that, you know, we ended up meeting, you know, Joe and Becky, because they're so incredibly, you know, held to ITC and, you know, they work with it so well. That, you know, it was a perfect opportunity for me to grow with ITC as well.
Now, how important is getting the proper training and doing this? Because I can think of somebody maybe who maybe gets a device and just starts using it on their own without really any training. What are some of the things you learned in your training, or some of the things that you were taught that you wouldn't have necessarily, you know, focused on if you were just picking up the device for the first time and using it?
Well, the biggest thing that I think helps us out is the fact that a lot of people just use this device just to talk to people. Us, on the other hand, we want to help the spirits. We want to be able to communicate with them, so if they need anything, then we can give it to them, or we can help them out as much as we can. In certain occasions, you know, we ask, is there anything that you need from us? And we have caught spirits say, you know, well, I need a priest. I need you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And it's essential, because that's what paranormal investigating is all about. You know, finding those answers that about the afterlife, but also if there's any spirits that are stuck or trapped in this world that need to move on,
yeah.
We have the ability to do that, and we can help them as much as we can.
Trying to help them, absolutely.
No, that was well said, Eddie.
So yes. That's definitely one of the biggest things with ITC. On opposed to, you know, it's more real time, so you're able to communicate with them, you know, in real time, on opposed to, you know, EVPs, you have to, most of the times the way people work, they ask the questions, they don't really hear with their own ears, so once they go and do that playback, that's when they hear those answers. So it's kind of cool when you're doing an investigation, because you're able to get answers immediately, and, you know, again, if there's anything that they need, any help, any, you know, questions that you want answered, you'll be able to get them right there.
Now, there's a lot of different styles of investigating and the ways that people communicate with the spirits. I've seen a lot of different things on different television shows. Is there a specific tone that you have when you're speaking to them? I know some people come across very aggressive when they're trying to communicate. Is that helpful? Is that damaging? What is your...
It depends on how far they take it. Like, and the... you know, a lot of the earlier episodes, let's say, of Ghost Adventures, to use an example that people might know, it seemed like Zach was very, very aggressive and always, like, very, you know, mean towards the spirits. People often, some people do that, and they're very, you know, they confront him and they go in yelling and demanding and everything, and they might get a response. And that's why they do it, because they might get something, right? But realistically, what we need to think about is that these spirits are not just, you know, separate entities from us. They're someone's grandparents. Mm-hmm. There was someone's uncle. There was someone's father and mother. And
we're all connected.
You can't really expect to get a lot of information from someone if you just bust into their house and just start screaming at them. Mm-hmm.
Or it could be just like if you were speaking to a living person, you know, you may get a response from that type of an exchange, and you may get somebody who's just pulling away completely and not wanting to participate.
Yeah, one of the drawbacks also is that a lot of people that don't know any better might go into a residential case and do this and stir the spirit up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then go ahead and leave, and then the person has to deal with it afterwards.
Yeah.
So. This is something that I hope everybody can hear me okay. Can you guys hear me okay? I do remember asking Joe, at certain times, Joe, when I review your audio, you sound so loud, so firm, so, you know, there's a word for that. I would say, you know...
aggressive?
Not aggressive, but just more like...
authoritative?
Yeah. It's an authority voice that he uses. It's a tone. It is a little loud. And he did give me his perspective on that. And I know in some cases in what we investigate, he's loud. And he's not being, you know, he's not being loud just to provoke the spirits. But he's told me, you know, several times the reason why he uses this loud tone to kind of let the spirits know, you know, that he's not one to be messed with.
If it really depends on the case. If a lot of the audio that Romero's talking about is that when we would go and investigate like abandoned mental institutions or places where we thought there were darker spirits, mm-hmm. and so that is a technique that I would utilize and kind of, you know, let them know it's not okay to, you know, try to, you know, do anything that I'm not allowing the spirit to do, like attached to me or anything like that.
Now, dealing with darker spirits through ITC, is there a way you know if they're darker based on what they're saying, or is it a feeling you get, or...
Both.
Both.
Yeah, it's really both. It's a feeling, and it's also the way they answer or the things they say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's what we usually do is if we come across something like that, and it doesn't happen all the time, but if it does, you know, they'll try to scare you, you know, and stuff, and we just pretty much end the session. Some of the darker ones that I've heard, one in particular that did bother me for a couple of days was I had a spirit come through the ITC session and say that the angel of death is begging for me. So it said the angel of death is begging for Joe. So that was kind of trippy, but I know that a lot of times, you know, these spirits will try to mess with you.
Yeah. I was signing up for life insurance the next day on him. I'm just kidding.
I hope I was a beneficiary.
No, she's not kidding, because I actually seen the life
insurance. I'm not kidding, but, you know, the only time, regarding your question, the only time I get firm, because I'm actually really respectful, and I think you get more, the old saying, you get more with sugar.
Yeah.
I do that, but I will get upset if we've seen people get hurt, and again, you know, that's a different show, but you have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing, what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
And if it is a darker spirit, I will get firm, and so will Joe, and we will get out of there, because we do not do darker cases.
Now, on a recent investigation that I was able to be a part of, you guys made a point to close the session.
Yes.
Why is that important, and what is that?
The idea behind it is, you know, when people open a session or where they start a session, they set down the boundaries, and they, you know, they'll let the spirit know, like, we're here to communicate with you. Some people make the mistake of saying, like, you know, come and use my energy or come and touch me. And that can be a very iffy type of thing, depending on what kind of spirit you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So we never say anything like that. Let them know that we're there to communicate with them. And then we, most of the time what happens is we realize there's multiple spirits trying to come through. And so we'll ask for, you know, for them to try to take turns or whatever. And then when the session's done, we go ahead and close it. And the idea behind that is that whatever communication opening that there was at that point, now we're closing it and letting them know that it's done.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on our paranormal podcast this evening. And that was a lot of good stuff on ITC. And we definitely would like to invite you back, because we have a whole library of topics that we want to get your input on and be able to kind of dig in your brain. And again, I want to thank everyone who joined us this evening. And Romero, so a couple.
I do want to mention that, you know, to all the viewers, and I want to thank, first of all, Joe and Becky for taking their time to actually properly explain this. I mean, they are my mentors. They did teach me, you know, from the ground up, and thanks for Jocelyn and Eddie for being a part of this as well. But any viewers that are out there, if you guys, after listening to this and seeing some sort of the evidence or whatnot, if you guys are more interested in maybe coming out and doing a session at a location, there's an email address and where you guys will be able to respond to. And then for those of you that are interested, maybe if Joe and Becky have the time, maybe we can even do an ITC session investigation, just focus more on what we spoke with about tonight.
And if anybody's interested in any information on 3 a.m. they can go to 3amparanormal.com, and that's number three and then amparanormal.com, and they can get information through our Facebook or our YouTube videos, everything from there.
Awesome. So once again, I want to really thank Joe and Rebecca for joining us this evening. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And for Ernie Alonzo Ramirez of Haunted Orange County, thank you and good night.
Good night, guys.
Good evening. Welcome to